A couple of texts. ALV has texted us to say Western United CEO Chris Balavanis confirmed this evening on radio that the club has turned soil on the stadium site yesterday, the access roads, with pictures expected tomorrow. Exciting times indeed. Thank you, ALV. Matt from Melbourne, also on Western United. Great having the ALV back. Love the show as well. Question about Western. Do they have too many egos in their team? That's interesting. Guess we'll find out. They play Perth Glory on Friday. They really need to take something out of that game. Now, for the next few minutes, thanks for your text, by the way, 0457 736 736. We thought that given we got Daniel Georgievsky in the studio with us, we thought it would be remiss not to dig a little deeper into what was a fascinating career that took in stints in Romania, Croatia and here in Australia, of course, as well as internationally with Macedonia, now North Macedonia. Daniel, you were born in Blacktown, started off with Marconi Stallions and then headed to Dinamo Zagreb as a team. That is quite a quantum leap. How did that happen?
Well, I had a home video my mum made during the games in the youth, and we just sent it over to my uncle, and he just knew a coach in the national team for under-21s, and they said, come over, we got a trial game. I did pretty good. A month later, we had a tournament, I guess, for the Euros, and I actually performed quite well, and this manager called my dad, and they said, you're either, you know, Hajduk Split or Dinamo Zagreb, but I had no idea who was who, so just jumped on a flight to they call me on a Friday, they go jump on a flight on Sunday, and you got a friendly game. Wow. Trial game on Wednesday, and that was pretty much it. I said to my mum, I'll see you in 2 weeks, or I'll see you in about 4 months. And
there
you go.
4 years.
And then I was there for 8 years.
8 years. You went on to, you didn't make the first team at Dinamo Zagreb, but you went on to play for Međimurje. I think that's
right. Međimurje.
There you go. Međimurje and Šibenik.
Šibenik.
I should have asked you that before I came on air. Okay. Two smaller clubs in Croatia. I guess this was part of your learning curve. You really had to sort of tough it out in Europe. You said this is what made you as a player.
Yeah, my first year at Dinamo Zagreb, I was in the youth and trained from time to time with the first team. But pretty much it was twice a day, five days a week, a game on a Saturday, and that was me for a whole year. There was nothing else. There was just football, train, sleep, brilliant, train, sleep. And that was me. It was like a university of football. And Dinamo Zagreb at the time had Luka Modric, Eduardo da Silva. So they were massive players. So they obviously had something that was really good. And they saw something in me because the coach had brought me in. But then they got rid of the coach and they got rid of me. So decided to go into a smaller club. We got relegated after 1 year, which is great times. Wasn't the best. I got stuck more contractually because it was in Croatia and I just signed whatever just because I wanted to play. And then was still playing for the national team in the youth, and then went to another club who was doing quite well at the time. They finished third that season. Went to them and there was just financial
chaos.
Chaos is a polite word. Not getting paid for 12 months. It was quite great, but I did get the opportunity to play for Macedonia. And because of that level, Steaua Bucharest called and there was another few clubs that was possible.
That was the defining move for you, wasn't it? You went to Steaua, you won two Romanian titles, you played 11 games in the Champions League against the likes of Chelsea, Schalke, Basel. I'm going to ask you about the Chelsea game in a moment, but you've actually got Mo Salah's jersey. You swapped jerseys with Mo Salah when he was playing for Basel.
Yeah, I had no idea until I think there was an article or a photo that came out a few years ago, and I said, oh, that looks like
you
Mo
didn't
Salah.
Know.
I had no idea. And then and I told my mum, I go, can you go check in my room which jersey I changed with Basel. And funny enough, it was with Mo Salah. And it's funny enough, I had no idea. And that was the Champions League season where he scored both home and away games versus Chelsea. And they bought him straight away. So it was funny that I had no idea about it. But that was me. I didn't remember. Now you're making me remember things in my career. I had no idea back then. And it's funny.
The Chelsea team that you played against in the Champions League had John Terry, Eden Hazard, Frank Lampard, Demba Ba, Oscar, Willian. Who did you mark that night?
Samuel Eto'o, Fernando Torres, Lampard.
Names go on.
I marked Andre Schürrle,
right,
who at the time they had bought from Wolfsburg, I believe, or Werder Bremen. And, mate, he tore me one. I'll never forget that, and I hate repeating it. He tore me one. It was a game where Mourinho had lost two games in the Premier League, and he was, you know, being in Chelsea and Roman Abramovich, there was like a lot of things, he's going to get fired, etc. And they came to us, and we were quite cocky. We were doing well in the league, and then they just shredded us 4-0 at home. I scored an own goal. Schürrle assisted twice. It was all my fault. I got subbed off in the 60th minute. We're at home, 50,000 fans. They all booed me off the pitch. Bloody happy days, Simon. Thank you for reminding me.
Just one more before we go onto your Australian career. But you played for Macedonia, as you say, all the way through the juniors to senior level. There was never any prospect or thought or desire on your part to play for the Socceroos, or never got any interest?
They had no idea I existed.
Right.
I know they only knew I existed because there was someone, I think, from back then, SBS, had called me when we were in the Champions League, and I was only myself and Schwarzer that were Australian-born players, and they had never heard of me, and they just said, oh, mate, who are you? And I just said, I'm just a kid from Blacktown, man, just trying to figure out football. And that was pretty much the only communication I had with anyone in Australia.
Now, I love this story. When you came back to Australia, of course, you signed for Melbourne Victory, and because you were born in Blacktown, a lot of your family are Wanderers fans, correct?
Yes, my mum hates this story.
And when you played for Victory, they all turned up and booed you. Is that correct?
I hadn't seen my family for a year and a half because I had a broken leg overseas, so I wasn't able to come back home. And when I did sign for Victory, I think a few weeks later, we had like a weekend off, and I came back home, and the family came, and my cousins all rocked up with Wanderers jerseys, a few of them, and they literally just pushed me to the side and just said hello to everybody else. Mind you, I hadn't seen him for a year and a half, but I did get him across the Victory at the time, and they go, look, we're Jezeski supporters.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a good thing, and then I did end up going to Wanderers, which they all loved, but yeah. That's another story.
You played in back-to-back grand finals for the Victory and then the Jets. You won the Joe Marston medal. Was there any thoughts? Obviously, you've now retired and you're starting your media work, which is terrific, and we're grateful that you're here tonight. Was there any thought in your head that, well, maybe I can go on another year? Did you have interest to continue? Did you want to continue? Or were you at the point where you thought, no, I'm done?
Oh, I think this year especially, I think with the whole Wanderers thing that had happened, and then I did go, my son was born, I went to Melbourne City, and I saw it in myself. We won it with City, and when I would win a title, you wouldn't see me for a week. I'll be out and about enjoying it. I literally just went home. I didn't even drink. I didn't do anything. I just wanted to go home and just reflect on how this season was. And then COVID had hit, and I was just pretty much, I had the hunger, but not to the level that I'm usually at, which is quite high. And I started speaking with Channel 10 and with the academy that I'm involved with now. And I think my interest just lied elsewhere. And there was an offer put on the table to play in an A-League club and in India, but I just decided that my interest lied elsewhere, and I was just enjoying life too much with my son and my wife, and I just said, you know what, let's move on. I'm only 33. I could play a couple more years, Simon, but nah, my interest lied elsewhere, and that's what I decided.
Okay. The hot tip is, though, you may well see Daniel Jezeski going around in the NPL at some point over the next 12 months. That's what we're hearing. We're going to have to leave it there. That's fascinating insight. Thank you so much for that. Daniel is obviously going to be with us for the second hour of the show as well, which is coming up on the other side of this break. We're going to talk Premier League with Spencer Pryor. We're talking women's football with Michelle Escobar. And we've got Football Asia with Paul Williams before we round out the show with our greatest game segment with our special guest, Michael Theo. Back soon.